Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, and this is a very special edition of Current Sports, seeing as though Michigan State fans, you have done it. That's right, Michigan went down on Saturday afternoon at the Big House, an improbable victory that had Spartans fans stunned everywhere. Just had college football fans stunned everywhere because, you know, looking at that matchup, Michigan, as I have been talking about all last week, Michigan was a 20-plus point favorite in that game. I mean, the line was at 24. Nobody thought Michigan State had a chance, especially coming off a week in which they had laid an egg against Rutgers. But hey, Rutgers may be good now, right? I mean, like I stated on Friday's show, we may be looking back at that Michigan State and Rutgers game and saying to ourselves, Greg Schiano's team was for real. Only time will tell. It's a very good Rutgers team with a lot of guys, you know, snagged from the transfer portal. And nobody thought that Michigan State was going to make this a game, but Michigan State not only made it a game, they won it. So Jim Harbaugh's struggles continue against rivals at the Big House. Isn't it amazing? I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh, you know, was touted as the guy that was going to come in and be the savior for this program, that was going to come in and take it to a new level, that was going to come in and rack up Big Ten championships and go to the college football playoff and possibly win a national championship. But no, that didn't happen at all. That hasn't happened, I should say, since he has been in Ann Arbor. He has tremendously underperformed. And, you know, when you look at Jim Harbaugh's record against Michigan State and Ohio State at the Big House, I mean, my goodness. He's now 1-6. 1-6, folks. I mean, that's inexcusable, right? That can't happen. But it has. And now the Michigan fandom out there, they are seeing the light, if you will. So you already know what we're talking about today. I'm going to give you my thoughts on how Michigan State was able to pull out the improbable against Michigan on Saturday. I am also going to roll in today's press conference with Michigan State quarterback Rocky Lombardi, who was so solid. He was so solid on Saturday, folks. You know, and I said, if you take away the turnovers from Michigan State against Rutgers, Rocky Lombardi's numbers weren't bad. Weren't bad at all. And certainly on Saturday, he got better. All right, so we got a lot to get to, folks. And we'll also have a voice message from our dear friend Ray from Indiana. All of that and so much more on this this Spartans win over Michigan edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I want to hear your thoughts on it as well. We'll roll in your voice messages if you call in at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail there. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment there. You can tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR News. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this November 2nd, 2020. All right, and of course we start here. Rocky Lombardi, Michigan State starting football quarterback. He threw for 323 yards, including 196 to Ricky White, and three touchdowns to help Michigan State stun number 13, Michigan, 27-24, the final on Saturday. The Spartans appeared to be the better team all afternoon on both sides of the ball in Mel Tucker's debut as coach in the rivalry, as the Spartans now sit at 1-1. 1-1 in the Big Ten. Of course, we're playing all Big Ten games here throughout this this shortened season due to COVID-19. The Wolverines also at 1-1 now after beating Minnesota in that opening season game. But Tucker became just the second coach to beat Michigan in his first attempt with the Spartans, joining Alabama coach and former Michigan State coach Nick Saban, who did it with the Spartans back in 1995. How cool is that? The former Colorado coach started his career as a grad assistant for Saban and the Spartans, so a bit of history there when it comes to Saban's relationship with Tucker. And the Wolverines were favored to win by more than three touchdowns. Jim Harbaugh's team, though, never led and did not appear to have much energy in front of family and friends in their mostly empty stadium that holds, what, 110-plus at the Big House? Because there's a pandemic. So MSU now moves on to play Iowa this weekend. Michigan will play at Indiana this weekend. And Michigan dropped to number 23 due to that loss against the Spartans. Dropped to number 23 in the Associated Press Top 25 poll, all right? So Michigan State pulling out a huge victory there. And I think the perception of this team is changing a bit, right? More on the Spartans and Wolverines in just a moment. The Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford lost a fumble, threw an interception that was returned for a touchdown on back-to-back drives in the second half, and the Lions committed a pair of possession-extending penalties that led to scores as they lost their seventh straight home game dating back to last season, 41-21 against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Lions struggled to generate offense throughout the first half and made a 38-year-old Colts quarterback, Phillip Rivers, look like he was in his prime again. Rivers completed 23 of 33 passes for 262 yards and three touchdowns, and Jordan Wilkins, coming off back-to-back one-touch games, he had 113 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown, as the Colts, now sitting at 5-2, had their best offensive output of the season. The Lions now prepare to hit the road to take on Minnesota on Sunday, but I think we can all agree that the Lions are who we thought they were, right? Which is why I know there are a lot of fans out there saying, why did we even win those few games that we did win so far this year? We could have just tanked and gotten to the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, but hey, the Lions are the Lions, folks. Also, more NFL news here. Two more stories coming your way. First, the Arizona Cardinals had two positive COVID-19 tests from the weekend. Coach Cliff Kingsbury, he confirmed that this morning. Arizona was on its bye this past weekend, but players were required to come into the team's Tempe facility for testing every morning from 6 to 9. Now, once the positive tests were discovered, contact tracing was done, but Kingsbury said it turned up, quote, limited results. So all tests came back negative on Sunday. Kingsbury declined to name the two players. He said, quote, so we're just moving forward with that protocol and taking it from there. The Cards return to practice today ahead of their Sunday game against the Miami Dolphins. Kingsbury said that practice will be business as usual. And speaking of the Miami Dolphins, folks, Dolphins quarterback, who could have been the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, at least the backup quarterback to Matthew Stafford, Tua Tagovailoa. He walked off the field with a wide smile as his first NFL start ended with a comfortable 28-17 victory over the LA Rams on Sunday. Tagovailoa, he threw his first NFL touchdown, a tight window, goal line slant to wide receiver Devontae Parker. Then he largely took a step back as his dominant defense and special teams unit carried the offense the rest of the way for a convincing victory. It was a rocky start for Tua, headlined by a strip sack from Rams All-Pro defender Aaron Donald on his first dropback. He also was nailed by Rams defensive tackle Michael Brockers on the same play. It was the first significant hit since the hip injury, but a win nonetheless as Tua goes in there and you know, starts. Pretty amazing stuff. So again, Dolphins and Cardinals this weekend. We'll see if Miami can keep that thing rolling. And shout out to my man, Connor Matthews, former current sports engineer. If you guys remember, though, my longtime listeners of the show know that that Connor is a huge Miami Dolphins fan. So great news for him. All right, and Kansas City has popped up as a potential temporary home for the Toronto Raptors next season, as they will likely need to relocate due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and international travel restrictions in place. Three civil rights groups in the Kansas City area have cautioned the Raptors and the league against doing so. Yes, city leaders are saying that they have that the city has failed to demonstrate that Black Lives Matter. So the Urban League of the of Greater Kansas City, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Greater Kansas City, and the Kansas City, Missouri chapter of the NAACP wrote a letter explaining their worries about the possible move to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver last week. So we'll see if that goes through, and we'll see if the Raptors indeed do play in KC. All right. Well, that will do it. You know, kind of a shortened headliners because I want to get right to the rivalry talk. I want you guys to hear from Rocky Lombardi. And again, you can weigh in and let your voice be heard. If you leave us a voicemail, simply by going to, picking up the phone and dialing, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you leave us a voicemail, we're rolling in on tomorrow's current sports. Again, we're still not taking live callers due to the pandemic. But you can weigh in that way, weigh in on social media, Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, some Spartans talk as the Spartans handle business against the Wolverines on Saturday, shocking everybody, really including myself. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And this is a very good Monday because Michigan State beat Michigan in college football over the weekend. This is always a fun show to do when the Spartans win. It's always a very depressing show to do when the Spartans lose. But they got the job done. Could you believe that, watching that game? I mean, everybody thought that Michigan was going to steamroll in this game. When you compare how those first two opening Big Ten games went for Michigan and Michigan State, you looked at Michigan and that offense led by Joe Milton just completely rolling, steamboating PJ Fleck and the Golden Gophers. And then you look at Michigan State struggling against a historically bad team in the Big Ten when it comes to Rutgers. And you say to yourself, okay, Michigan is going to roll in this one. But no, it didn't happen. Did not happen. The exact opposite happened. And the Spartans came ready to play and look ready to play really from jump street. And, you know, this line was at 24. I know a lot of people out there lost a lot of money if you bet heavily on Michigan. And probably a few Spartan fans want a bit of cheese just going for Michigan State because you're a fan, right? but it was a 27-24 upset for the Spartans over the Wolverines. First-year head coach Mel Tucker. Can we give this brother a hand? I mean, Mel Tucker, all the criticism that he got after week one, but still, you know, I've always said that, you know, Michigan State could not win a game this season and Mel Tucker would still get a hall pass because of everything that has transpired in the offseason in regards to his hiring, in regards to the time of the hiring, in regards to COVID-19. He definitely gets a hall pass. And you look at the amount of turnover that this team is dealing with from last season. Mel Tucker deserves all the credit in the world this week when evaluating that game on Saturday, simply because everybody doubted this team. Everybody. Now, if you listen to Friday's show, not to toot my own horn, but toot, 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 I did say that when you look at this game, this is going to be a much closer game than a lot of people thought. I think my final prediction was something like 31 to 21, I believe. I have to go back and look at the tape. But, you know, I didn't think Michigan was going to cover 24 points. I mean, I thought that was ludicrous. You know, in a way, when you look at a rivalry matchup like this, you throw the records out the window. You throw them out the window, and it's a different ball game because of the amount of emotion that is involved with this game. In this game. So, you know, when I saw what was taking place throughout that game, I mean, I was just as shocked as you, though, because that Michigan State offensive line, number one, played very well. Very, very well. You know, it was very impressive to see, you know, when you compare last week to this week, to see the improvement that they got, to see the push that they got. And they gave Rocky Lombardi some time to make some things happen with his arm. You know, but the rush attack, I said that, look, you got to get way more yards than you got last week. I mean, and not only did they do that, but they got, I said something like, you know, give me 70, 80 maybe even. I mean, Michigan State, their rushing attack, when you look at Jordan Simmons, Connor Hayward, you know, also throw out Rocky Lombardi who had a few scrambles. Elijah Collins, Jalen Naylor, Jaden Reed. Michigan State's run attack put up 126 yards. Impressive. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that that offensive line looked drastically different the week prior to. 126 yards, led by Jordan Simmons, who had 14 carries for 55. Connor Hayward behind him. 13 carries for 28. And then Rocky Lombardi, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions for 323. Again, if you look at the tape, if you go back, just look at the tape. Rocky Lombardi, yeah, there were a few miscues last week. I think there were a few miscues this week. Well, I should say against Michigan. But the week prior, too, against, you know, Minnesota, when you look at that tape, Rocky Lombardi did not play horrible. I thought he was in control. He had some really good throws. He put some zip on the ball, good pocket awareness. And those good things were transferable to the Michigan game. He was great. And again, no turnovers. That's the big thing here. Because 7 turnovers, I don't care who you're playing, you're going to lose against them. You turn the ball over 7 times to East Lansing High School football team. You may lose that game. I'm just saying. So the turnover problem was not an issue. Rocky Lombardi was great. And his connection to Ricky White. That's who we're talking about today, right? Because what I failed to do in our headliners, because it broke just as I was getting ready to record today. But Ricky White is garnering a lot of national attention right now due to his play on Saturday. He has been named Big Ten Co-Freshman Player of the Week. He was also named the National True Freshman of the Week by Pro Football Focus. Deservingly so, right? Because Ricky White, I mean, he was amazing. And what it was, and this is what Michigan fans are going to be griping about for, you know, until the next time Michigan State and Michigan plays, as Michigan State now has bragging rights in this game. But every time Michigan State needed a big play, Lombardi looked to his wide receiver, his rookie wide receiver in White. The two connected again 8 times. White had 196 receiving yards 8 times for 196. Those are second in school history against Michigan to only Plaxico Burress, who put up 255 yards back in 1999. It also put White into a tie for 7th in the Spartan single game books. Historic game. Historic game. And again, how is Ricky White able to have that kind of output? Well, I mean, you heard it throughout the game. You know, you heard it from Michigan fans, Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt. They don't hide that, do they? Gus is a Michigan fanboy, and so is Joel Klatt, who's a Michigan Jim Harbaugh fanboy. but Ricky White, you heard Joel mention it numerous times throughout the game because it was so painfully obvious, and Michigan didn't do anything to slow it down because they really couldn't. But Ricky White killed the Michigan secondary on the outside. They had nobody to slow him down. I mean, it was a field day. It really was a field day. I mean, anytime you needed a big play, I don't care who Ricky White was guarded against, he was going up there and making a big play over somebody. They couldn't slow him down. Could not slow him down. That was the key, really. You know, multiple plays that led to big chunks and added to that 323-yard output from Rocky Lombardi's arm. I mean, he averaged, what, 24 yards per catch? His longest catch was 50 yards. I mean, Ricky White constantly just beat guys on the outside. I mean, play after play after play after play. And, you know, I don't know what was up with Jim Harbaugh, but he really didn't make any adjustments. He just didn't, man. You know, and I think initially Gray was lined up. Vincent Gray was lined up on Ricky White, and then they tried to make a change, and it didn't. You know, Perry, you know, came in and tried to slow down Ricky White. It was bad. I think it was Jalen Perry. I mean, it was just bad, man. And, you know, if you're Michigan now, when looking at it, you lose this game, and now we have the conversation of where does Michigan go from here? Where does Jim Harbaugh's tenure go from here? Because I think this may have been the game. This may have been the moment. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. Michigan fans are up, and I have not seen one positive tweet about Jim Harbaugh since Saturday afternoon evening. That's it, man. You lose to Mel Tucker in his first year. You now fall. Well, I should say you've only won one game. You are now 1-6 to the Spartans and Buckeyes at home. That's it. You know, we talked about that extension and where, you know, that extension is going to now lie. You know, if you are Michigan, do you give him an extension? I mean, what has he done? What has he done? You have not won a Big Ten championship, let alone go to a college football playoff under Jim Harbaugh. This is Michigan, right, where expectations are very, very high. And you lose to Mel Tucker in his first year. And I say all that, and now I say this. Mel Tucker, salute to you, my man, because there were so many people that looked at this hire and had mixed feelings about it. You know, what has he proven at Colorado? It's just one season. You know, Michigan State threw a lot of money at him. He comes in late in the hiring process, COVID-19. You start off week one against Rutgers, you know, losing to them. But then you do something that the man that you previously worked under as a grad assistant, you do something that hasn't been done since him, and that's beat Michigan in your first try. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty amazing, man. Everything just clicked, right? Everything just went right. You know, you get just 50 yards against Rutgers on the ground, and then you put out 123 the next week. That's pretty amazing, right? And I think Rocky Lombardi is the guy. Great choice, right? I mean, we thought that Rocky would start. And look, I came on the show on Monday, last week Monday, and said that, look, man, you know, Rocky, yeah, he has some turnover problems, but I thought that you would at least experiment because we didn't, you know, the quarterback situation wasn't fully clear, right, during the offseason and these offseason battles. So why not give, you know, Peyton Thorne or any other of the quarterbacks from Michigan State another shot? But this was the right move. He's the more experienced quarterback. And as you'll hear in just a moment, you know, in comparison to Peyton Thorne and Theo Day, you know, I haven't seen many interviews with those guys, but Rocky Lombardi sounds like a quarterback. You know, he just has that quarterback swag, you know, that quarterback confidence. You know, former wrestler, tough guy as well, really smart dude. You just get this aura that, yeah, that's the starter right there. I don't know. Every time I listen to Rocky speak, you know. And you'll hear from him in just a moment here. But, you know, Rocky, he just was impressive, man. He has been very impressive, you know, throughout these last 2 weeks. You know, it's just amazing. You know, there's room for improvement for sure. But the way he's feeling the game right now, you look at some of the plays he made and you say, yeah, the kid's got it. He's got it. So Mel Tucker, man, shout out to him because this is what Spartans hoped for eventually in his tenure. Not in a pandemic year in year one, but you eventually, most realistic Spartan fans eventually had hopes, as you do with any new hire, that maybe a year like three at the earliest, you start to get it clicking so much that, you know, okay, now you're competing against your rivals and you're knocking on the door of a Big Ten championship. But Mel with this win is proving us that timeline may be a little bit off. That the cupboard isn't as bare as many people thought. And look here, Michigan. Your program under Jim Harbaugh will never go anywhere. Will never go, I should say this. Will never go to the heights that you wanted to go to. He's not the guy. He is not the right guy for the job. Looking at his face after that game as well, and, you know, listening to the rumor mill, I think Jim Harbaugh, I would not be surprised, man, if he does not get an extension and he goes back to the National Football League where he had much bigger success than he's had in Ann Arbor. And coaches try to sit up there and say that, no, I don't hear the chatter around me. We just take it one game at a time. We focus on that. Coaches say that BS, but trust, they hear the criticism. They hear the Michigan fan base right now at the water cooler on Zoom, you know, not in person, of course, talking about how Jim Harbaugh has underperformed and has done nothing for us. Change has to come, because if it doesn't, Jim Harbaugh will continue to lead you to mediocre performances season after season after season. It was all hype with Jim Harbaugh. The khakis and spending the night at recruits' homes and, you know, playing pickup football with his shirt off. And, oh, we're going to make recruiting day like a midnight madness. And all that mess is cool, fine and dandy. May get a few players to commit. But are you winning football games? Are you going out there and winning the games you are supposed to win? And he hasn't. He just hasn't. Especially in a game like this where Vegas really thought that you were going to blow out Michigan State by 24 points. That's why you play the game, right? That's why you play the game, folks. That's why sports, you got to love it. They are so unpredictable. They are so random. You have to love just how crazy sports can get sometimes. And how, you know, you have to sometimes expect the unexpected. Or don't expect the unexpected. Let it surprise you and just bask in it. This is beautiful. is absolutely beautiful right now. And you all should relish it, Spartan fans. So what were your thoughts? You know, where are you as a Michigan State fan base right now? You know, has your expectations changed? Are you seeing, like I predicted at the beginning of the year, are you seeing a 5-win season now? Can you see that? Can you see Michigan State possibly competing for, they're in the East, and Ohio State's in the East. Let me not get too crazy here, but can you see them competing for, you know, the East title? What are your thoughts on Rocky Lombardi? What are your thoughts on Ricky White? I mean, he's pretty. Ricky White is the new superstar athlete at Michigan State right now. Just a freshman and doing what he did, he's the truth. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail at that number. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment there. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, you'll hear from Rocky Lombardi, his press conference this morning, recapping that big, big Michigan State win over Michigan on Saturday. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And right now what I want to do is let you listen to Rocky Lombardi. Rocky Lombardi, who was just outstanding on Saturday. You know, I mentioned his numbers. Just outstanding. 323, 17 of 32, 323, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Pretty amazing stuff. Here is Rocky Lombardi, the starting quarterback of the Michigan State football team, recapping that 27-24 victory on Saturday for his Spartans.
Start with Chris Delarge from Detroit Free Press. Chris?
Rocky, I guess the 24-hour rule now is passed, but how was that 24-hour window that you guys went through and kind of walk through what practice was like a day after that, knowing you guys have Tuesday off?
Yeah, it was good, man. It was good to get everybody together, get a little celebration in the locker room. And, you know, they talk about, you know, when we're here, that 50-minute bus ride on the way home is the best 50 minutes of the season, you know, if we get that win. So it was good. It was emotional. I'm glad that we got Paul back home and East Lansing. But practice tomorrow, obviously, it's going to be a little bit – practice yesterday was obviously a little later. You know, guys are a little beat up from the game. Got to give everybody a little rest time. So it'll be a little different this week with the NCAA giving Tuesday off. But, you know, at the end of the day, we just got to make the best of what we can.
Did that help maybe kind of turn that page from an emotional win like that, going right back to work?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I mean, for me, as soon as the game was over, you know, you celebrated that night. And you know, once you wake up Sunday morning, it's Iowa week, you know, or whoever it is. So. For us, it's Iowa week, obviously, but it's that next game. So, you know, for me, turning the page is easy, but I'm sure for some of those guys, getting in on Sunday would definitely help make it a little bit more of a reality.
Last follow, how do you vote? I mean, what's tomorrow like for you?
Say that again, sorry.
The process of voting tomorrow, I mean, that's obviously something that's been emphasized quite a bit.
Yeah, so I've already voted. I'm registered in Iowa, so... I did that a while ago, and I know a lot of our other guys have already voted, especially most of our guys that are out of state have done that, but it'll be a good opportunity for a lot of our guys that are in state to get out and vote. I remember when I was 18 in the last election, I voted in person, and that was really cool, you know, especially when you do it in person, you really feel like you know, you're part of the gig, you know, you're helping out and you're fulfilling your civic duty. So it'll be cool for our guys, especially a lot of us are first-time voters.
Next question is from Rico Cooney with Spartan Magazine.
Hey, Rocky, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Good, thank you. Hey, we all have been able to see the contributions that Connor Hayward has had on the field, but I think one of the things we've all heard since he came back was about his growth in leadership and how he's become a real leader in the room. Can you just speak to what you've seen in that area from him?
Yeah, for sure. first of all, our offense is kind of young. You know, we got a lot of young guys, maybe not the offensive line. They're getting older, but we got a lot of young skill guys. So for Connor to come back, you know, he's one of the older skill guys. He's done a great job leading guys, especially in his own room. Got a lot of young, talented tailbacks. So for him to come back and be able to help out and teach football for them, you know, especially coming in as a freshman, you know, you don't know as much football as you think you know, especially at the running back position. There's so much stuff that goes into, you know, being a running back, finding the holes, what you read in high school. You know, you just go out there, run the ball, and try to break as many tackles as you can. But I think he's done a great job with the young tailbacks and the young skill guys. And you know, anybody who needs to be motivated, he does a good job stepping up.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Matt Wenzel with M Live.
Hey, Rocky. Last week was kind of interesting, given that your family, you know, you grew up around the area, and now you're going to kind of a real homecoming of sorts. You know, how much does that change the outlook for the game, given that, I mean, I know you, it'll just try to be one game, but I'm sure you're going to have some family there and it's close to home.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be really good. My mom doesn't get to come to a lot of games because she, you know, I got four other siblings that are all busy, all involved in sports. My sisters are in state volleyball this week. And they've been in state volleyball for every year that I've been in college. So she's been very busy. So it'll be nice to have her, you know, come to the game, and my sisters get to come see me play. Well, it doesn't really happen that often. So it'll be emotional for me. And yeah, I mean, this is a real homecoming for me. I've had this game circled since I committed here junior high school. So, but like you said, you know, it's just another game. I got to prepare like I do every other game, just go out and play the best I can.
For all the talk after last season ended about the quarterback competition all the way into camp and ahead of the season opener, you throw for more than 300 yards each of the last two games. It doesn't seem you took in every snap. You know, how much do you think you've earned the role through your play and shown progress these last couple of weeks from where you were at last year, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I've improved so much in the last 2 years. You know, I talked a little bit about it at the post game after Michigan, but watching myself play as a freshman, you know, sometimes you just sit there and you cringe at some of the plays. You're like, man, you know, I could have done this so much better. I could have done that so much better. And I'm still improving, you know, from game one to game two, there's some things that I did better. And from game two to game three, there'll be some things that I'm going to do better. So I'm just going to, you know, continue to improve, you know, continue to show my worth for this team, for this football team, and continue to lead.
Thanks, Rocky.
Next question is from Matt Charbonneau, the Detroit News.
Rocky, you just talk a little bit about, you know, how you've progressed as a quarterback these last couple of years. Have you learned anything about yourself in this stretch too? Not so much, you know, can you read defenses or make the right throws, but just about yourself and resolve and kind of sticking with it. Have you learned anything about yourself in that stretch?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, just being in college and getting older, you know, you learn about yourself, but you know, me especially, I feel like I've grown a lot as a human being, and I've taken a lot of consideration into mental health and you know, what to think about, how to get over a loss or how to get over something that you thought you could have done better at. And I know Coach Tuck does a good job of getting guys in like that to help us. Trevor Moad's been helping us, and he's awesome. So it's just a lot, you know, how can you get your mind right? Because, you know, this game is, you know, 90% mental, or, you know, whatever the saying is. But for me, it's almost 100% mental at my position. So how can I get my mind right? How can I think about the right things? How can I simplify the game down to be able to execute?
Is having that ability, especially to be able to bring others along with you, is that as important right now with a coaching change and a strange offseason? Is that almost as important as some of the physical stuff and kind of getting us to go on the right track?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is just my opinion, but I feel like attitude alone is so much of life in general, but football also. You know, it's just what kind of attitude you're coming out with. How are you going to overcome challenges? How are you going to react to failures? How are you going to react to success? So and it's really just about what kind of attitude you possess, how hard are you going to work, and how are you going to stay motivated?
Thanks, Ryan.
Next question is from Jim Copperoni with Spartan Magazine.
Sorry about that. Hey, thanks, Rocky. Congratulations. You talked about things that you guys improved on from week one to week two. It seemed like pass protection, so specifically some of the help you got from the running back and tight end positions. What? Tell me about the confidence that you had in that against a very good pass rush as the game went along and what that means for the future. Specifically, there was one play where you came out of your own end zone and threw deep, and before that throw, it looked like you adjusted the protection, brought a tight end in, and had that all squared away. How much cooperation was there? And it seems amazing that that can improve that much in 1 week. How can that happen? And what did that do for you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think in fairness to the O-line, I think the protection the first week was all right. We had a few miscommunications that really resulted in some unfortunate plays for us. But those guys have been working so hard for so long, and they communicate well with each other now. And the play that you're specifically talking about, we just had a slide protection. And, you know, I recognized the blitz coming from the right side, and I flipped the protection so that the O-line would slide to it rather than the back and the tight end having to pick it up. So that was good. And really all it comes down to is communication. You know, it doesn't matter what protection we call. As long as we, all five of us or all six of us, know what we're doing and know who to block, we should be all right, you know. So it just comes down to communicating and getting comfortable with each other, and I think that they're doing a better job, and they're continuing to improve on that. And, you know, if we can protect, we're going to be pretty good. I think we're going to be hard to beat.
Thank you.
Next question is from Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Rocky. Again, congratulations. Going back quickly to Saturday, so many people were surprised at the win. And I'm just curious to know, were you and the team as surprised as everyone else? And if you weren't surprised, you know, why not?
Yeah, no, I mean, we went in there expecting to win the game. Obviously, you know, you go in there not expecting to win the game, you got no chance, first of all. So obviously we thought we had a good chance. And you know, really, if you go back and look at the tape from week one, I know people gave us a lot of crap for how we played, but I really offensively, I felt very good about the way we played. If you take away those turnovers, and you know, we showed it on Saturday, we had no turnovers, and you know, we end up winning the game. But it just comes down to can you hold on to the football? Can you execute? I thought we showed really good stuff in both games, so I don't really see any reason why we would go into a game thinking we can't win.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Nick Mantis with WLNS.
Hey, Rocky, how you doing today?
Great, how are you?
Not too bad. After the game, Antoine Simmons was talking about how the entire week you were telling the entire defense that you guys were going to put up numbers, so be ready. Be ready all week. That was the message. Now you guys, you know, showed that you were able to do that. What type of message are you going to send to people, you know, to the guys in this, you know, the defense or even your offense this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of the same message, and most of that last week was just about, you know, in the past couple of years, we've had trouble with offensive production, and that's hard on the defense. You know, you hold a deep, if you're on the defensive side of the ball, you hold a team to less than 20 points and you don't win the game, that's very frustrating. So, you know, I just wanted to give them some confidence in us, and just tell them that, you know, we're going to put up points. We're here for you guys. We're going to fight our asses off for 60 minutes, just like you guys are. So hang with us, because we're going to put up points. We're going to work together, and we're going to get this thing done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Steven Brooks with 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Rocky. Going right off of that, you know, you mentioned that the last couple of years, offensive production has been a weakness, I guess, you know, been a little lower, you know, respectfully, however you want to say it. You guys, the offense, were out there. You had the 90-plus yard drive to go up two scores. And then at the very end of the game, they put the ball in your hands to get the sneak to wind it out. For an offense, a Michigan State offense, to be on the field to clinch a win like that, it's probably been a while. What did that mean for you guys or other folks that have been around this program for a bit to have that confidence that an offense can go out and slam the door on somebody?
Yeah, it meant a lot. And, you know, it's credit to our guys. I'm so proud of how they fought. And, again, this goes back to attitude, you know. The offensive line, the wide receivers, the tight ends, we were all working together, and we were fighting for 60 minutes. You know, nobody gave in. Nobody didn't think that we could do it. Everybody had confidence in our abilities. And you know, I got a lot of help around me to make some of those plays. And having that QB sneak at the end, putting the ball in my hands, it felt good to kind of seal the deal there. And I also want to give a special shout-out to Bryce Behringer, who is our punter. And you know, that guy makes a huge impact on the game. You know, people don't see it, but Him flipping the field as many times as he did, that makes a huge difference for our defense, for our offense. Field position is huge in a game, so he played a major part in that as well.
Thank you.
We got time for a couple more. We'll go to Chase Goff with the impact, and then we'll wrap it up with Chris Solari and then Matt Wenzel. Chase?
Hi, Rocky. Congratulations on the win. Last season, Michigan State only had 5 completions of 40 yards or more, whereas this year, through 2 games, you already have 4 completions of that distance. What has been the biggest difference in preparation that's led to the long completions down the field?
I think it's just practice and repetition, getting comfortable with your teammates. You know, we've had trouble either placing deep balls or adjusting to deep balls or anything like that, and I think we still have room to improve in that area. But you know, at the end of the day, it just comes down to 2 guys being on the same page. You know, here's where I'm going to put it. Here's where you got to be. You know, get there. So, and that happened on Saturday, and it's going to continue to happen throughout the season. So, you know, those plays are really important. Those explosive plays are important for winning games. They're important for putting up points. There's big statistics to back that up. So, we got to continue to do that.
Thank you.
Last 2 questions. We'll go to Chris Slaughter, the Detroit Free Press.
Just a quick follow on that last one. Having the ability to throw the ball in 2 different ways like you did against Rutgers versus going deep this week, how critical is that as a quarterback to have multiple options within the passing game?
Yeah, I mean, it is really important, and that's a lot of credit to Coach Johnson, who set up the game plan for both weeks. And, you know, he really does a good job of understanding where to attack the defense, you know, where we feel their weaknesses are and where we feel that we might have a mismatch. So it's credit to him, you know, being able to see that, you know, we can take some deep shots this week. Last week, we had a lot of underneath crossers. We're highly efficient in the pass game. So week to week, it's going to vary, but we got a lot of weapons and we can use them a lot of different ways.
And tell us a little bit about what you've seen. I know it's early in the prep, but what do you see from Iowa's defense?
You know, Iowa's defense, they've been the same for 15 years. You're going to get a tough defense. You're going to get a defense who knows where they're going to be, knows their assignment, and they're not going to make mistakes. You know, they're going to be solid all around. They got a lot of good players. I know their record doesn't show it, but they have a talented team, and they're always ready to go. They're always going to be tough to beat, especially at home.
Last question will go to Matt Wenzel with M Live.
Hey, Rocky, that game win, it would prove to be the game winning drive there in the fourth quarter where you get the ball at your 8, go 92 yards, convert a couple of third downs. You know, not something that we saw a ton of in the offense and being able to seal the game with, especially with a long drive like that in recent years. So, you know, what did you see from your guys up front and the receivers and everybody able to pull that off and really, you know, close that game out?
Yeah, I talked about it a lot today, but it just comes back to attitude. You know, I kept telling the guys up front, you know, we're going to win this game. We are in this game. We just got to keep pushing. You know, coach talks about keep chopping all the time. Just keep chopping wood, keep chopping. And, you know, you push for long enough, you battle hard enough for 60 minutes, and you're going to end up winning. And I thought that, you know, we competed so hard out there that there wasn't another outcome that was possible. So it's credit to those guys up front, credit to the guys on the outside for winning. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, can you compete your ass off for 60 minutes? And we did that.
And obviously losing Daryl Stewart and Cody from last year, you know, you had some talent coming back, but some of the young guys, obviously we saw Ricky, what he did on Saturday. But I think there was a point on Saturday where you had Terry Lockett, Montori Foster, and Cade McDonald as the 3 receivers on the field. I don't know that anybody would have seen that coming. You know, what have you seen from the young guys that have given you, you know, filled out the depth and stepped up for you?
Yeah, we got a lot of talent from the younger guys. You know, we see them in practice every day improving. They're learning the playbook. They're learning how to sit in zone coverages. Cade McDonald is a very intelligent receiver. He does a lot of good stuff, and I've watched film with him a couple times, and he really understands how to sit in the zone. And, you know, on that over route he caught on third down, you know, if I would have kept him up, he might have been gone. He might have won about 40 more, but I was trying to protect him from the safety, trying to take a hit off him, you know, first play in there. But it's exciting to see those guys in there, those new guys. Puts a smile on my face. I know they're a little nervous but excited, and you know, I try to keep them as even as possible and just be like, you know, we're out here, this is a game, we're having fun, you guys get to come out here and make plays. So it was cool to see them out there. I'm excited to see more of them, and I'm excited to see them continue to improve as well.
Again, Rocky Lombardi, starting quarterback of the Michigan State football team, recapping that 3-point win over the Wolverines. celebrate this with Spartan fans. I'm gonna have a lot more on the Michigan State victory over the Wolverines on Tuesday's Current Sports. Don't miss it. But celebrate this with Spartan fans. Have a smile on your face. We need this, right, in this crazy year that has been 2020. Enjoy it. We'll see you on the Tuesday edition of Current Sports. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.